to Mark 4 and just kind of hold that for a minute. You can also, if you can multitask, and I can't, you can go to Ephesians 5 and hold that and then flip back to Mark 4. That's where we're going to be this morning. Ephesians 5 and Mark 4. We'll get to Mark 4 first. So maybe you want to hold Ephesians 5. But I'll just tell you, this next year is it's a particular time in my life. Tomorrow, 28 years ago tomorrow, my dad went to be with the Lord. And that will mean in my life that I had my dad for 28 years and I haven't had my dad for 28 years. Y'all do the math. I can't lie and say I'm in my 30s anymore. And I learned something even when I was 54. I could flip it and claim dyslexia and say 45. And now that I'm 56, if I try to pull dyslexia on you, then I'm 65. So, I mean, I've reached my limits. I've ran that thing out as far as I can, but I'm 56 years old. I've lived 28 years. I know what it was to lose my dad at 28 years old. Next year, this time, I will be the age my dad was when he died. I'm telling you, the older you get, there's some things that are like, ooh, I don't want to dwell on that very long. But I'm trusting in the Lord, and God is good all the time. And these times of reflection that helped me, I remember being 28 years so distraught, married, but I'd never lost that type of significance in my life. And God saw me through it. So this, I'm just telling you, this next year for me is going to be a ride. And I'm going to trust God all the way through it. I've titled this message this morning, The Slow Fade. The Slow Fade. And I'm not talking about a hairstyle. I'm talking about a slow fade. It'll make sense if it doesn't make sense yet. It's really got to do with deception. And how many of you know that we're living in a time of real deception? You need to know if you don't, because deception in and of itself is you don't even recognize it. That's what being deceived is, right? The magician that's trying to get you to look at this hand is actually doing the trick with this one. So I don't follow magic, but I always, when I'd see like a magic show, I'd be looking at the other hand. I'd be like, I'm going to catch it. And of course, they had planned for people like me and fooled me too. The thing is, when you're being deceived, you don't realize it. So you need a revelation from above. You need to see spiritual eyes. You need to have His thinking inside of you, helping you make decisions. And you need to beware, because this enemy, Satan, that we're dealing with is very crafty. He's very crafty. And without God, we would not be able to not be deceived. But with Him and His Word, somebody say amen, we can recognize the enemy. I'm going to read to you out of Mark 4. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It says, and again, He, Jesus, began to preach or to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to Him, so that He got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. There's enough people that, you know, He didn't have a sound system, but a voice can carry across water. Then He taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside," can you say to those who are outside? "To those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" I just have to stop right there and say, I say this every time I read this passage. He's telling them that this is such a foundational teaching. This is such an elementary level. This is such entry level information that he's given them, that he stops right here and he tells them, if you don't get this, how will you get anything else that I'm going to teach you? So you realize you're on building blocks right now with him. And he's about to show them something. He's about to reveal something to them. And it is so powerful that he has to really break it down even more and explain that to them. And they have an inside route to him because they are seeking the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you this. Beware that you're not just seeking church. That we're seeking his kingdom. I've told you over and over, church is only mentioned a couple times in the New Testament, but the kingdom is mentioned by Jesus over and over. He talks about the kingdom. He says, "Seek it. Seek my kingdom and you'll find what you need." And he said to those, to those seeking the kingdom, he says, the kingdom has some mysteries about it. And you've got to understand, if you're going to deal with a God who knows everything, there's going to be some mysterious things that you don't understand. I've already resigned myself to know, because he's God, he knows way more than I do. And I will live a life, and there will be some things that he lets me know, and there will be some things I just don't get to know. And I have to be okay with that. But I've also learned this. Knowing God is better than knowing some of the answers that I wanted. Amen. Because I can trust. There's something about me that needs to understand that he's greater than I can go. That I can go so far and he'll keep going. But there's a place that I can't get to yet. But he's got that. So I can take peace in that. And he says, "You don't understand this. But if you don't get this, you won't get anything else. How then will you understand any of my parables?" So then he explains it. He said, "The sower sows the word." So the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. So the word is the seed. You see that? The sower sows the word. 66 bags of seed right here. His word. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown in their hearts. Be careful today. I'm going to sow his word into you. Before you get to your car door, the enemy will be trying to steal that word out of your head. Let's pray every time at the end of breaking his word that God seal that word inside of me. Seal that. Don't let me lose that valuable information. Not what Pastor John said, what your word says. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. I'm sorry. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately rejoice. They rejoice and they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And so endure only for a time, because they have no root in themselves. So endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Immediately they stumble. You know why? It says it right there. Because that word will demand something out of you. It says that they stumble because of the word. They didn't stumble because of an opinion. And so you got to be careful with that. They didn't stumble because of an influence. They didn't stumble because somebody else said something that they bought into. They stumbled because the word said something that they didn't want to come into agree with, into agreement with. And obedience was not in them. Because if obedience would have been in them, they would not have stumbled. Second Peter tells us of a place that we can be in the Lord where we don't stumble anymore if we do these things. And he gives a list of things. Check it out, 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, after you get saved, he says, there's a list of things that I will give you that you got to seek out, though. And he said, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. I've preached that before. I don't want to stumble around in my Christian walk. Do you? I don't want to stumble around in my Christian walk. And it doesn't mean that you'll walk in perfection, but you won't walk in doubt of him anymore. You won't stumble. Something won't come into your life where it causes this crisis. Do I even believe that you're there, God? It'll get you out of that because you're feeding yourself with his word. It's the word. That word is what makes all the difference in the world. The house that's built on the sand and the house that's built on the word, the rock, the only difference, both of them heard the word. The only difference is one of them did the word. The one that did the word was founded on the rock. And that's what he has for you. And it's not his will for us to go around just consulting our feelings, consulting what anybody else says. We got to go back to the word. What's the word say? Please don't just say I know Pastor John said this. Please don't do that. Find out what the word said. Find out. I'll be telling you, Noah was getting the commandments because I'm human. Don't trust that. That's wrong. Moses, right? We're human enough to get it wrong. Go to the word where it's infallible, where it's the truth. And the word will demand a decision. And that's what happens. It's like, I can follow God so far, and all of a sudden his word, that's hard. I've had people tell me. I've had people talk to me about a crisis in their life, and I just say, well, there's a scripture and the word says this, and they look right in my eyes and say, that's too hard. So I don't have anything. I don't have a different revelation for you. If I give you a different revelation, then I'm lying to you, and you really need to run. But until you can come back to what the word says, and that's what the scripture's talking about right here. That's what disqualifies them right there. When the word comes back, don't you get offended at the word. Now, these are ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. See, if you take that word and it gets into the good soil, your heart is your soil. And it's up to you to protect your soil. It's your soil, after all. It's your, the Bible describes your heart as your soil. And he describes his word as seed. But his word is not the only thing that is a seed. And since you have soil, you got to be very careful of what seed goes into you. You remember the other another story of a parable about seed. And it said at the end of the planting, when the harvest starts coming up, there's wheat and there's tares. And that's a whole great study. The wheat looks just like the tares, except for the tares don't produce anything. That right there is an answer to what he said. There's supposed to be seed that produces 30, 60, 100 fold, like seed that produces. And when the question was posed, well, I know that you planted good seed in your soil. What happened? The answer to that mystery of where the tares came up with the wheat, the answer to that mystery was, a stranger has done this. A stranger has come in and planted seeds. Are you careful about everything you're watching? Are you careful about everything that gets your ear? Are you careful riding down the road whose podcast you're listening to? All that is a seed. Words are a seed. And here, let me just tell you something about your soil. Soil doesn't care. Soil's neutral. Seed, all seed has to do is hit soil. And when it hits soil, it starts producing. So whatever that seed came, if it's good seed, but if it's not good seed, and you got to be careful. You know what I've learned to do in my life? When something starts coming up in my life and I start examining it, I'll go to my wife and I'll say, we didn't sow for that. We didn't sow for that. We got to figure out where that seed got in. Let me tell somebody this morning. If you know, because whatever seed is there, it will produce after its own kind. You can expect, if it's good seed, you can expect a good harvest. If it's not good seed, not going to lie to you about that. And I ask God, what about that? What about when there's bad seed? And I know that there's bad seed. And I'm worried at any point this seed is going to come up. And God gave me a word for that. He said, you pray for crop failure. Pray for crop failure. Crop failure is a real thing. Did anybody say, thank God for crop failure? You never think you'd say that one, did you? Thank God for some crop failure. Deception. See, deception, what's it look like? I'm going to tell you what it looks like. I think it's intriguing. I think there's some of it that's appealing. There's got to be a hook to it. There's got to be something that makes me say, well, maybe. Maybe I'll hang around just long enough to see because it tickles. There's something about it. There's something that makes a little request for your attention. There's something that says, look over here and then look a little closer and come over here. Deception. Your attention. Be very careful. I said that last time I preached. We had missionaries last week. But 2 weeks ago I said, be careful. Please be careful who you're giving your ear to. Because it gets in the seed, the soil of your heart. And the Bible says this, out of the heart flow the issues of life. Your conversation, whatever your conversation, will tell others around you what seed is in your heart. You can't stop it. You'll be all, you can't stop it. Because it's in you now. And that's a principle from him. It's what's in you will come out of you. Be careful with that. Don't worry, when I do this, it's saving you 5-10 minutes at a time. Y'all should be like, amen right now. Amen, Pastor John. What you looking at this? Keep looking down. Every time my head takes a notch down, y'all should be going, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to switch over. I'm going to ask a crazy question. Permission to possibly offend? All right, then don't get mad at me. Permission to offend. Ephesians 5, 25 through 28. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He's drawn a comparison. Your love for her, my love for you, needs to be like his love for us. That's what he's saying. It says that he loved the church and gave himself for her. So I need to be ready to give myself for you. I need to be first in her life, not to judge everything that she's doing, whether it's right or wrong. First to love her. First to softly give her words of encouragement and affirmation, to know her. And if the time comes and something happens, I need to be first to forgive because he's first to forgive us, right? I might do something to you that he'll forgive me before you will. And if I'm supposed to have that type of love right here, then I need to be ready to forgive like Christ forgave, right? Y'all got quiet and nervous. I'll read on. I'm sorry if some of y'all had a fight on the way to church. You'll be like, he's preaching to you. Some of y'all looking like, look at your husband like, I got this, but he's talking to you this morning. That he might sanctify, hear this, that he might sanctify her, that he might set her apart and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. This is goal oriented. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. It's a couple things right there. I'll lighten it up just a little bit. So a few years ago, we got to go on a marriage retreat. And didn't know when we got there, but one of my closest friends, he actually had an opening. And it was already paid for. And he's like, John, if you and Christine can get to this, you're going to love it. We're staying at that. We got this whole like 32,000 square foot house on Lake, was it Lure or something, near anywhere. It was beautiful. What I saw of it was pretty, I'll tell you that. And we didn't know those, so we just went to have a good weekend. And when we got there, he said, y'all are first to arrive. And he said, I decided it like this. Whoever got here first got the best room, the master suite of that 30. Welcome to heaven, my child. We don't live like this. And I'm walking around, and I'm like, the rooms are like this. They're like walking in like, this is my room. And like you could chase each other in there. And that was my intentions. I told you I lightened it up a little bit. And there was this tub. Now, I won't go too deep into that tub, but it was big. It was a big tub. It was a big tub. So first thing I did, I filled that thing to the rim, and I jumped, and I was like, come on, babe, get in the tub. You got to get in here, because there's room for two. I ain't never been in a tub with room for two. Sorry, Solomon, I'm killing you over there, ain't I? It's Walker. He's about sick. He's about to throw up. This is what my... She's like, move on, finish the story. All right, so I got a knock. I got a knock on the door, and it's Vince. It's my buddy who gave us the master suite. He said, John, you're in the tub, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, Vince, thanks. And he's like, you got to get out of the tub. You got to let the water out now. I'm like, why? And he said, because water's coming through the ceiling. And a pipe had burst, and there went my tub. And I just wanted to go home. And like we had, it's like it's there, and I can't even use it. So I'm just telling you this. I've got a point, believe me. I got a point. I got a point. I find points in the craziest places, but I hope it makes sense to you. But it says that husbands are to treat the wives like Christ treats the church. And he said, wash her with the water of the word. Nobody goes on a romantic getaway, and if you do, don't. Go on a romantic getaway to see how nasty and sweaty and stinky you can be. You want your wife to feel like luxurious spa, and then the tub goes out. But I'm saying that to say this. If I'm going to be like Christ and be able to wash her with the water of the word, problem arises if she knows more about the word than I do. I said permission to offend. It is my duty as her husband to not have holes in the pipes, to be able to have a supply enough where I can wash myself with the word and wash her with the word. So when situations come up, I've got a word from his word that can wash over her and bring her to a place where she's presented back to him again as a daughter that is not afraid, as a daughter who has been subjected to his word and what he says. And all I'm saying is what he said. You see what I'm saying with that? And that's what it takes. Okay? Almost all good soil, if you tend to your yard, I had to tend to a weak spot in my yard just this week. And I realized the problem that I had when I overseeded last year, I didn't put enough seed down in one section. I'll tell you this, there's enough seed right now there. It already looks green just from the seed. So if I miss it this year because I put too much seed down, that my battle now is I've fought it out with my grass every year. My battle now is on the edges of my yard. those places where the things that kills the weeds, you know, that's where they can't get in. They might sweep across, but there's also areas in my yard where the shade is right or the sunlight is right. And I've got a neighbor that he waters his yard, and it runs down into mine. And those areas where the sun is at, where the grass is getting plenty of sunlight, and it's getting plenty of water, I don't ever have to worry about weeds there. It's those areas where there's a deficiency. That's where I've got to watch for the weeds. And when he's talking about the word, I'm just going to tell you about the seed of the word that's sown into your life. He gives a particular area where we must be careful and we must protect. See, he's already talked about the area that fell along the soil, the spillage. The enemy came and got that quickly. And then you got to the rocky place where there was just a little bit of soil, but there was no depth of soil. There's no place where the roots went down. And that was a pretty easy battle. The seed gets lost right there. It burns up. And then if you go two more steps, it's the good soil. And if the seed makes it just two more steps, it's gonna hit, and it's going to be 30, 60, 100-fold return on it. So if you look at the enemy's chance to get the word, he's going to pull out all the stops right before the seed hits the good soil. And that's described as a thorny place. It's talked about as a place where, as the word has come up in you. And it says something very particular about that. It says that as the word comes up, that the deceitfulness of wealth, and this translation says is the desire for other things, but I love the translation that says, and the love for other things comes up and it chokes the word out. That's the one. That's the one where the enemy will get you if you let him. You're here. I always want to be a preacher that's kind to those that came. And that's why I said permission to offend, because his word is going to offend. But it's to offend you from where you are at, to get you to where he needs you to be. And that's a good thing. And that's when you thank him for that. Amen. We were kidding around yesterday. We were, several came out and we did some work in the church. We did some cleaning and everything. It was nice. It was a great time. And Cindy had brought breakfast to everybody, and she had chocolate chip cookies for everybody. And between the breakfast and the chocolate chip cookies, I had decided I didn't have a chocolate chip cookie. I had the breakfast part. And then about an hour later, I decided it's coffee break for me. Where are them cookies at? And I was like, y'all better buckle up tomorrow if I don't get a hold of one of them cookies. And then somebody produced some cookies. I'm like, okay, now I'll preach easy to you tomorrow. Just kidding, you know. But here we are, and I'm asking for permission to offend. But I told you last week, Paul said something so interesting. I'd never seen it before. When he's talking about his sufferings, when he said, I've been beaten with rods, he said, I've received the 39 stripes 5 times. And he's talking about the toil that he's been through. But he drew a comparison. He said, and besides all of that, the burden that I carry for the church, I was blown away. When he equated his sufferings against his own body to what he felt for the body of Christ. And I can tell you that's a real thing. And I will run the risk of offending you to hopefully get you to the place where you say, is there anything that's going to keep the word from reaching full potential inside of me? I've got more to say about this, but I'm going to start with this. You know, 3 weeks ago, I was at a friend's church, preached his pastor appreciation day, long-time friends. We've been in ministry about the same amount of time. And I saw that their hometown this week suffered a great tragedy. Perhaps you saw it on the news, but at least three teenagers in Chesney area, South Carolina, tragic accident about 4:30 Friday afternoon. At least three teenagers lost their lives. So much so that I saw the post from the principal, and the post from the principal said, he's like, you know, we have had a tremendous tragedy, and we can't tell you the extent of it. Certainly they'll be reporting on it soon. But understand why we are canceling tonight's football game. So that was the principal's report out. Soon after that, it was a small enough town where everybody heard the sirens and the buzz was, what's happening? And turns out that three students lost their lives. Three students lost their lives. I want to hope that those three students knew the Lord. I really do. I want to believe for them because I don't know the situation. I want to believe that they're ready to meet the Lord. I want to believe that they left a legacy behind, that they made him their choice. I don't know. I hope. And my heart goes out. Having suffered the loss of our own child at 20 years old, my heart goes to things like that because I know something that they know. And just like that, their lives are changed. So I know some of that feeling. But I called this a slow fade because I just picked on the husbands and the wife. But let me just make aware. I have a very, very close friend who counsels people for a living. And at his church, they're an 800 church, large church, and every year he's asked to go in and speak to the families and to the teenagers. Those that are coming up from the seventh grade. And he's sitting there talking to sixth and seventh grade year olds and their parents. And he has a very sobering word for them. And he says, statistically, by the time you graduate high school, 50% of you will not be in this church anymore. And he said, you're looking at me saying it won't be me now. And I'm hoping that it won't be you then. But without exception, it happens 50%. 50%. He said, because there's a slow fade that happens. There's a slow fade that happens, and all of a sudden, other things are introduced. Other things. You remember what the scripture said? And the love of other things? You've got to watch out for other things. You got to find out if there's thorns in it early, if it'll spring up and create thorns, because thorns are what choke the word out. That's what the Bible said. And it's the thing that'll keep the word from getting to the good soil of your heart. And moms and dads, I picked on you a minute ago. I'm going to pick on you harder now. You're responsible for part of that slow fade. Not all of it, but you're responsible for it. because things will compete. I know farming enough to know the edge of the field, the roots of the trees around the edge of the field rob from the soil. Anything else will pull from the soil. We'll make a demand on the seed. We'll make a demand on the soil. And you've got to be what is careful to not let a slow fade take you away from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You can't sub that one out, guys. You can't sub that one out. They're yours. And if you think that you can tell them, do as I say, not do as I do, that ain't working no more. That one died out. That one's been gone. I had a situation years ago where a parent called me wanting me to get onto their kid because they got caught smoking. Y'all like, man, that baby stuff now. They want me. I can't come fix that. That's not my job. But it's one of them times when I had to say something to the parents because I could see them losing that kid. I could see them losing that kid. And the next step was going to be a total about face. And I told them, I said, do you realize you're mad at your kid for getting caught smoking cigarettes? You want me to come rake them over the coal over some cigarettes? This is 20 years ago. And you smoking dope while they're at school. Do you see the hypocrisy of that? What about when they find out you mad at them about this when you got this? Now, I know, I'm dating myself. This is back when it was illegal. 150 years ago when I was a kid. But I'm telling you, if you think that you're going to tell your kid to do something and you ain't living it and you think they don't see it, and if you are wearing that mask, buckle up for the crash when it comes, when you get exposed for being worse than they were. Permission to offend. We have a unique ability. A matter of fact, according to his word, it's an oil. We have an oil as a father. I've got a fatherhood oil. As a mother, you have an oil of motherhood on you. It's amazing. You can say something. Look, I used to pick on your husband. You'll say stuff to her that she'll only receive from you. You'll say stuff to her, she'll only receive it from you. They might receive it some even from my wife, but they won't receive it from her like they'll receive it from you because your oil is for them. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now we can help shore up that oil. But she can't be that oil. Only you can be that oil, Tiffany. And I know you love those girls. So the oil they get is not going to be corrupted. It's your oil. Don't let a slow fade. There's a scripture so sad in the Bible where a tragedy has taken place and they come to the priest and they ask him what happens. And he says this, he says, the oil has been tainted. The oil has been tainted. The precious oil has been tainted. I keep this little vial of oil in case we need to pray for people.
I keep this little vial of oil. It's just olive oil. I keep that. And I took it home to pray for somebody. I had it in my pocket or something. I took it home. And I realized, well, my mother-in-law realized, she washed the clothes. She says, "What's this?" And she found it in the washing machine like that. So the oil got out. But before I got out, I realized looking at that, I saw some stuff in that little vial. I'm like, I need to just wash that out and let's start all over again. Because the oil was getting some mixture in it. And I guess in and out of my pocket, you know, fuzzies and all that, just all of a sudden it started looking a little funky. But there's an oil that you have on you. And you got to be careful with the oil that it doesn't get tainted. Amen. Christine, will you come play? I'm going to ask you to grab your kids and your wife and pull them close to you. If they're here, this is just kind of a family message today. And you can just make a connection with somebody around you. We have a good support system here. We have.